Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting for March 7th, 2017. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please read the roll?
13 council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp, will you please lead us to the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And I don't recall, Councilmember Davis, did he indicate that he was not going to be here? Okay, so we'll just go ahead and indicate for the record when he comes in this evening.
Just for the record, traffic is hosed.
Traffic is bad. Okay.
So.
Noted. Thank you.
What was that technical term?
Hosed.
Hosed. Okay. All right. So with that, please note that we are going to be amending the agenda this evening to remove item number one under new business, which is the AB 17-044. It's ordinance related to site plan review and construction permits. We're pulling that so that we can go over that one more time before bringing back to council.
I'm sorry, which one is that?
It's new business item number one, AB 17-044.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we have announcements and presentations. We have an LTAC appointment. One of the LTAC members is no longer able to serve on LTAC, and so Mr. Feilberg will be presenting a replacement for that person that's no longer able to serve. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. The Legend Tax Advisory Committee consists of five members, two people who are from businesses that generate lodging tax, and two people who are from organizations that can receive lodging tax, and then an elected official from the City of Monroe. The representative from the Chamber of Commerce is no longer in the Chamber of Commerce board, and so that position needs to be filled, and we are recommending that you appoint Mike Juice, the chairman of the, actually I think president, of the Chamber of Commerce to that position. I have questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Questions or a motion? Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, the things I've heard from about Mr. Buse is that he's reputable, so I'll go ahead and move. I move to appoint Mr. Mike Buse, Monroe Chamber of Commerce President, to the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee for the vacant term ending June 30th, 2017.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action in Agenda Bill AB 17-040. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Please note that public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The first person that we have who signed up to speak is Ms. Debbie Moon. Did I get the name right? Hi.
I came to discuss parking. I'm the owner of the Lover's Boutique on Main Street, and I didn't really have a problem until the Main Street Cafe opened and Serena Beans opened. So now, in the mornings until about 3, there's no parking at all. And the owner of Mazatlan had said that he had applied for 2 15-minute spots, but then he closed, he's no longer there. And I noticed that Adams and St. Dennis Johns has 15-minute spots, but I don't have any. And then on the other spectrum, I don't have a place to park, because it's all 2 to 4 hours. And I used to park over by the cleaners, behind Gino's, and walk, but now everything's 2 to 4 hours. And so I have to literally close my store, put a sign on the door, and find my car and find another parking spot. So it's really becoming a problem for me. I have a small window between the time the Monroe Cafe closes and Adams opens, and most of Adams' employees park out front. So I don't have much window for customers. I've lost a lot of business during the daytime. I am busier at night now, but still, I really need that morning parking. I talked to the police officer. I personally have gotten 3 tickets. I'm a business owner who pays into the city of Monroe revenue. And I personally have gotten tickets. I talked to the compliance officer. She said she didn't know I'd have to talk to the city. I called the police. They said they'd check into it, call me back. He was the most helpful, but said that the city had not addressed this issue yet. And I talked to the ladies at the front desk. And I've talked to the lady where I paid my tickets. And nobody knows who I'm supposed to talk to, so they suggested I came here.
Thank you. It is a policy choice of the council on the time limits in the downtown. The council changed the time limits just over a year ago, and the council would have the ability to take a look at making adjustments and whatnot. So I'm sure that they're listening to your testimony here this evening and may request that it be brought back for discussion. So you did bring it to the right place.
Okay. And is there a certain individual that I can work with that works with the city in parking? Because I talked to the sidewalk maintenance guy, and he said he didn't know of anybody.
What I'm going to ask you to do is be in contact with our interim city administrator, David Mosley, and he'll get you some more information for follow-up. So somebody will get you his...
And your contact information is in the sign-up sheet?
Yes.
Great. I'll be
contacting. And it's MoonDK55, correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see if I can work this here. Clear. Okay. Thank you again. The next person who we have who has signed up to speak is Ms. Diane Forth. Ms. Forth.
It is with utmost pleasure, as president of the Downtown Monroe Association, that I introduce the mayor and the council and esteemed David and Zach Seltzer to Joey Worthen, who is our new part-time executive director. And I'd like applause, I'd like drum rolls.
Thank you. I'm sure you'll be hearing from me often, and I'm just honored to be a part of this group of momentum that already started with this project, and I look forward to seeing what happens next.
Hey, Joy's a Monroe citizen. She's been a member of DMA since almost the beginning, and we're just thrilled because she's got the experience. She's just got all the pieces that we were looking for.
The
energy.
Yay!
Yeah.
Good job. Thank
you very much. Is there anybody else that takes care of everybody who signed up on the list? Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda and a second from the motion was made by Councilmember Kemp. The second was that Councilmember Rasmussen? Yes. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. In just a second. Thank you. All right. The next item we have on the agenda this evening is unfinished business. Item number one, this is AD 17042, approval of Blueberry Lane, Kelsey Street, proposed traffic revisions. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. Occupy Mr. Davis's seat. Or swing. Let me get the line. I'll go again.
Okay, we've been before the council several times discussing the intersection of Blueberry Lane and Kelsey Street. Last time we brought you a series of possible solutions to that intersection, going all the way from just a simple no left turn sign up to a fully signalized intersection. At the last meeting, the council wished us to to further pursue the left turn sign with some striping down Kelsey Street and on Blueberry Light to limit left turns from both Kelsey to Blueberry and from Blueberry to Kelsey, during the peak hours. When reviewing that, we found that the limiting the left turns only certain hours of the day from Blueberry, in our opinion of the staff, would be too confusing for the drivers because you'd have two lanes there. How do you make people not use one of the lanes a certain time of the day? Because, you get to the end, it's like, oh, I can't make a left turn, what do I do now? So we've come up with this, the suggestion here of not doing anything to Blueberry Lane and just leaving that the way it is. And the other thing too is if somebody was trying to make a left turn, we got rid of one of the lanes, if somebody got there and tried to make a left turn anyway, then they'd back up everybody who was making right turns. So we've decided to leave Blueberry Lane the way it is and then do double line striping on Kelsey Street from Main Street to Elizabeth Street, and then from Elizabeth Street to Blueberry, do a double row of the raised pavement markers, so a little more emphasis. It's a double yellow line still, but then if somebody kind of gets on it, it makes a little noise for them, so they can hopefully tell them that they're not supposed to go there. And then we have it right now proposed from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the no left turns that way, and then other times of the day people could make the left turns. One of the reasons that we had talked about doing the curbing in this area up here, but with the large trucks that go to state roofers, by the time you took the curbing out where the truck needs to make their turning radiuses, there was very little of it, so it didn't seem like it worth it to just put a little bit of that raised curbing in there. That down at this end, you can still start off anyway, and you can get off that way, so it didn't really seem like it was worth it to put that down for that little bit of space. So, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Taking notes of folks. And to clarify, you'll note that there's nothing on the north side or the right side of the railroad tracks. There's been discussion about the potential of putting C-curve there, and we did send out another letter to Denny's and to Rite Aid.
Yes.
And Denny's has gotten back in touch with us.
Oh, they did? Well, he said they were going to come to a council meeting to...
I hear that they had expressed concern to staff?
They were to express their displeasure with that possibility.
So, just so that you're aware of it, the material that you have before you here today stops on the south side of the railroad tracks. We'll go ahead and talk a little bit more about if there are any treatments that can address the concerns there and bring back an update to council about that area between Denny's and Rite Aid in the next couple weeks or so. But certainly if you have thoughts on that and you want to discuss it here, we can do that. The request right now is to get council's approval with what you have here after asking any questions, of course. So let's go ahead and call on people. Councilmember Scarborough, who is here.
Do we need to have it put out in council that this is a temporary until we can find the money to do the...
Right, that was your indication the last time we discussed that.
So this is just a temporary...
$220,000 It was $450,000. For the light unit, pushing that over to the west, and so you could have two lanes going north.
And so Denny's displeasure is they don't like the people coming out of Denny's cannot turn left to go to Highway 2.
Or coming into Denny's, Kelsey can't turn left to go in that way.
And Rite Aid has not got that?
Rite Aid has not indicated anybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. That was my first concern was by us blocking that all off. That's going to help the traffic flow better. So thanks for that update. This is a great start, and I'm all for it. We talked about doing something. This is definitely something. It's a good start. So I appreciate all the research and work.
Thank you. Customer Kent.
Thank you. Okay, so the reason you didn't want to have a no left turn 3 to 6 p.m. is because you have the two lanes, the left turn lane at Kelsey.
Right.
Or
on Blueberry at Kelsey, yes.
At Kelsey. And that basically is because you can't I don't think that you can get people's attention to tell them, don't turn left.
Right.
Even an illuminated sign, well, having it written on the left turn lane, no left turn.
Yeah, that, those things are not, those writing on the pavement is not MUTCD compatible, and all of the traffic control things we have to do have to meet that. And then we didn't go into the overhead signs and all that, you know, so that's lots more cost. And if it is supposedly temporary, you know, we're trying not to get carried away with that.
How much would an overhead sign cost?
About $8,000 plus poles.
Plus
poles.
I don't know what the current market price for poles are. So
they're about $10,000 a piece, probably.
If there was, and this is a good start. I agree with Councilor Bradford. If there's any way that we can get the left turn stopped between 3 and 6, I think that would really be a positive benefit. If we can, I can understand it. If $8,000 plus poles is too much. I can live with this. I'd really like to see some notification that they shouldn't be turning left between 3 and 6. I know it's an inconvenience to people, but I can live with this part for now. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
To clarify, Councilor Camp, so this would be something in addition to the sign that says no left turn Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. So
right. Okay. If I'm understanding correctly, the left turn Monday through Friday, that is going down Kelsey.
Correct, northbound right. Kelsey.
So, I think there's a school zone only sign on Kelsey down by Sky Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so I have the equivalent hanging above the intersection saying, oh, wait, we've got that on Main Street too. No left turn, 3 to 6 p.m. You know, whether or not people are going to obey it, I don't know. That to me would make, I think that would be a really good finishing point for this, for the temporary measure, because that would eliminate the issue of the left turn lanes and slowing traffic down that way, especially after a train goes by. And the problem between 3 and 6 when things were really kind of under, we're trying to get traffic worked out. Those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So $10,000 for that whole thing. How much is the sign? Just the Monday through Friday, 36.
$250.
So that is the bulk of the cost.
Is striping in the buttons.
Yeah. Is it currently, it's currently striped? Is it just?
It's single skip stripe.
Yeah.
So what we do is shift over, so we wouldn't have to remove the existing stripes and just shift over a little bit, so the one solid line would be on the existing stripe and then there'd be the other one next to it.
I'm just having a, I mean, I think the biggest thing is the no left turn sign. Says, you know, you for $250 put up a sign and see what that does before we spend $10,000 on striping, which we all know what it means, but we also know that people are going to ignore it because there's no obstruction. I mean, it's not a, you know, like on Highway 2,
right.
You know, on Chimera, there's a Kelsey where you can't come across, so that would be my first thought. I mean, I get it, you want to send them, you know, a message, but it's still, and you got people right now that are going two full blocks, you know, up traffic. I don't think a double line is going to really slow them down. So, but I thought of a sign at $250 and say we put it up tomorrow. That's my thought.
So, to tack on to that, if we were to put a sign that said no passing,
mm-hmm.
that's another option.
You have to have the stripes
okay.
In order to use the no passing sign.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, Councilmember Gamble, please let the record show that Councilmember Davis is here at the time right now at 7 p.m. Good evening. All right. The next person who, Councilmember Cutterback.
Brad, I think it's great. I like the double line, the stripe. I think that provides warning. Maybe we put a sign up that says no passing. I think that helps a little bit with the safety, whether it prevents it totally. You know, you don't know. I also like
your decision or the staff's decision of not doing the Blueberry, because with the two lanes there, I do agree it would be confusing, and you'll have people go in that left turn lane even with a sign there, and so it'll be set there. So I think it's a great first step. I think it's a great option. What's the next steps of monitoring? Like, how do you measure success? Like, whether it's working, complaints?
It would have to be police enforcement if they notice people still driving down the wrong side of the road, or, you know, the neighbors complaining about it. Okay. Kind of stuff would say whether that had solved the problem.
Yeah, because I think the fix, I mean, the cost we're looking at for the other thing, $450 and up. You know, $10,000 or $12,000 is completely reasonable. So, like, just like to know how it's going, like, what's the feedback? Is it working? Maybe this is a fix for a while without spending the other amount. I also think if we're going to do anything north of the railroad tracks, we really need to get the input of those businesses. So I can see why Jen's would be upset, and that's why I brought it up before. You know, not being able to turn in and out of that business is going to impact their business, because that's the way in and out of their business. So I would prefer we not do anything or look at anything like that until we have some more time to look at that. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Right, Kelsey's currently single stripe, right?
Single stripe, yes.
I appreciate the work and the thought that went into this. I'm still skeptical that it's going to work. I mean, I've been there all times of the day, and it seems like no matter when I'm there, whether it's morning, noon, or night, it's a backup all the way almost to Sky Valley. For whatever reason. So I'm kind of siding with Councilmember Gamble in respect of, you know, $250 versus $10,000, $12,000 would be the start, but it is still a minimal cost that this is where council goes. So give it a shot and see what happens. But voice being a little skeptical on it. So.
Yes, sir. Just one thing is that the sign doesn't have the temperature weather requirements that striping does, so the sign could be done, you know, relatively quickly, and then see how that goes. And then if the striping wants to be done, you know, in July when it's dry, we can do that.
So we'd have an idea.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Great. Is there, so I'm hearing a plurality of opinion, is there a motion to approve the proposed traffic revisions to North Kelsey? Councilmember Scarborough.
Make a motion to review and approve the proposed traffic revisions to North Kelsey Street.
Second. First from Councilmember Scarborough, second from Councilmember Cutterback to approve the proposed traffic revisions to North Kelsey Street. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. So I'm clear. These revisions are these, or the modification I heard just using the sign at first?
They will install the sign sooner, much sooner than later.
Right.
The striping would occur after we've had dry weather sometime during the summer. Before we expend the funds on that, we would come in and just let you know how things are going out there. There's no reason to expend the funds if the one sign is taking care of it. But,
you know, because these people that state workers we were talking to, you know, relayed their how they see people drive down the wrong side. So, you know, they say, well, the sign stopped and no one drives that way anymore, and you don't have to go any farther. So
we'll put that on the extended agenda, maybe to check back in with you right around June or so.
Beginning of June.
Okay,
perfect.
So I have a motion and I have a second. Any discussion? Discussion's already been taken care of. I'll go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda this evening is unfinished business item number 2. This is AB 17-043, discussion, potential amendments to MMC 2.26, term limits for elected officials. And I think this is Mr. Mosley.
Yes, the last council meeting, a council member requested that we bring this back to the council for further discussion and potential direction. There are really three options that the council before you. One would be no change. second would be to amend the current ordinance to say 3 terms, and a third would be to amend to say 12 years. That was the request to bring it back to for council discussion, and so I turn it over for council discussion.
Councilmembers? Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, in reading the option one and option two, I see one of them is the three consecutive terms would limit both Councilman Hanford and I to 10 years total, because we had a 2-year term. If we got his 4-year and another 4-year, it'd be 10 total. As opposed to option two that says 12 consecutive years, which would give us an opportunity to go farther, except that there's no 2-year position anyway. At least you can get the 10 years. At least he and I can get the 10 years. So for future people, they won't be affected because they didn't get a 2-year somewhere along the line. I'm in favor of option two that says 12 consecutive years as opposed to 3-term limits. Otherwise, I don't see much difference.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. This is a question for the city attorney, or actually, I'm not sure. What about appointments? If worst case scenario, I've got a 4-year term and somebody's appointed the first of that 4-year term, when would the election for finishing out that term, I mean, like they do with the county, or how would that be handled?
So the 4-year term. The bigger picture policy answer to your question is that if this is a question of how you are authorized to frame the ordinance, you have the authority to establish that restriction in just about any way that you want. You have very broad discretion there. Mm-hmm. Is your question specifically geared toward one of the options that's listed?
Well, I was trying to picture the worst case scenario where you have someone actually who's appointed instead of elected. Now, how are we looking at their time in office in terms of years, in terms of terms, in terms of an election? I know with the county they would have an election to finish out the time, and then they'd have the next term. I'm watching your finger.
No, it's in both the options that you're
appointed. I didn't see it.
Yeah, if you're appointed, that you would not, that doesn't count, essentially.
It doesn't count.
No. And actually, we have the option to appoint, even if somebody has served for 12 years, you may want to appoint them to serve. So both ways. So you would be covered, because then it would be the next election, if I'm remembering correctly, that it would be immediately elected to fill that position.
Okay, so appointments won't count at all.
Well, just to clarify, as written, of course, whatever, as the attorney says, you can do this any way you wish. But as proposed here, or at least as contemplated here, a person may serve on the city council for more than 3 consecutive terms,
right,
if the person is previously appointed to fill a vacancy on the city council and the period of appointment is less than 1 year.
But in the scenario I described, where essentially if they're serving almost 4 years,
that would be considered a term.
All right. I'll yield.
I mean, when we appoint someone, don't they have to run in the next election?
They have to run in the next general election. So let's take first Councilmember Kim's point. He gets elected somebody gets elected to office January 1st, sworn in, person leaves office, you appoint somebody January 2nd.
Yeah.
That person would need to run
November.
So right.
So when is that going to be, where they're on longer than
appointed? Wait, I'll get you there. Okay. So the other option is, and I saw this happen at the county with Executive Reardon, resigns in June. In which case, rather than the upcoming general election, because you've got to have declaration week, it goes almost a year and a half.
Doesn't go to February?
No, it goes to the next, at least in the county, it goes to the next general election. Now, that is a good question for the attorney. Does it have to be a general election, or could it be a special election?
I always thought it was the next election.
And that is established by this, the general election statutes. I don't know the specific answer, but I'm happy to come back with that.
I mean, it would answer that question.
I believe that happened with council member Tuttle. I think she was appointed after the cutoff, thank you, for that particular year, so she went an additional year.
Until the general?
For the general election, and that's fine. So, but the election, the example that the mayor gave, where they're appointed January 2nd, they run for election that following November, would be for to finish the three
years. Yeah, expired term.
The last of the expired term.
Right. Correct.
That makes sense. That was the only question I really had about this. I think this either option will be fine. And I think there's a precedent in terms of adjusting this to better fit what our current situation is with the reduction for the elimination of the two-year term. In terms of whether or not to go with 3 years or 12 years, I'll go to council on that one. I think you can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Okay. Well, I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately, and in the way I see it happening here, I think the original intention of the limits was to prevent entrenchment. I think one of the quotes is blood, et cetera, et cetera. And what I'm looking at now is just exactly the opposite. What we're doing is we're preventing the people with the least amount of time on council from continuing or running again. And that's just the opposite of what the original intention was. Therefore, that's the thing that bothers me about now. I mean, I don't... I'm not for term limits in a local government situation like this. I think we're small enough. We don't have the same issues you would have in a national election, et cetera, et cetera. But I've kind of gone with this because we did have an election and there was quite a loud voice in it. But now what I'm running up against here is we're actually creating a problem by doing this. We're actually doing the opposite of what our intention was. So based on that, I would go back with my original belief and do away with any term limits. But that not being okay with everybody, option two, come into 12 years. So I think that option one would just continue the same thing here. It would restrict people with the least amount of time on council. So. So that's my stand. I'd be fine with just doing away with it, but I would go with option two. That's
okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. So as we've talked about this at length, the easiest thing to do is what you just said, Councilmember Davis, which is just do away with it. Instead of creating a problem, creating a challenge, and limiting ourselves and limiting future council members to get elected. So, option four didn't get included in the packet, which was just to eliminate the term that's altogether. So, I'll say it again, that's my stance, that's what I'm in favor of. That would definitely be my number one choice. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
The only in light of what Selfman Davis has said, and understanding what you said, the only other way seems like there's two ways to go. One is to eliminate this. The other might be to have on this election 2 2-years, one where Mr. Hanford is, and one where I am, and put us both at 4 or 8, and put us in parity with going to 12 years or 3 limits, and that would eliminate all the questions about what's the fairness to the two people that served a 2-year prior to being elected to a 4-year, or just elected to a 2-year. As far as the doing away with limits, I'm not against them, but I'm of the opinion, again, that if we're going to do that, we need to have some council or some city meetings, some town meetings, to get input from people who may not have understood the ramifications of voting for term limits, to hear Ms. Cutterback's and some other people's arguments why term limits aren't really necessary as far as a local election as opposed to a federal election before making that change. Again, I know Bassey will argue against why aren't we going with the vote of the people on this subject if we're going to go with the vote of the people on that subject. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I don't know if I have to speak now.
No, I do. I might.
No. Well, I was just gonna, for this amendment before us today, I would not vote for either of these. I think I've been pretty consistent in my argument about no term limits. We created a problem that we didn't have. We created a barrier that isn't necessary. For those of us who talk about less government and less interference, here we come and we've created this. And it wasn't created because members stormed down to council and spoke that they wanted this. It was created by a council member bringing it forward and people kind of up here going along with it, as people have spoken who sat up here and went along with it. Most cities have gone away from term limits for a reason. It creates a barrier. Local government creating more barriers to people getting involved in voting and running, I think, is unnecessary. The data for our own local community does not support the need for term limits. We don't have entrenchment. We didn't have people, a large majority of people, sitting up here for long terms. We had incumbents get defeated many times. It just, the data didn't support that we needed it. You know, and I will bring up again, we talked about I-502, 9 out of 12 precincts voted for it. And we continue to sit up here, and I think with good reason, not go along with that vote. This was an advisory vote. Advisory means we look at it as a piece of evidence when we make decisions up here, not that we have to go through that. So, if we vote on these tonight, I'll be not voting to amend these. You know, for me, it's to listen to the advisory vote, like you said, or, in my opinion, not have term limits at all. So those are my two choices. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
With Councilman Cutterback's position, Councilman Davis, and I understood you to say that this was just for discussion tonight, not to be voted on one or the other.
Yes, sir.
Do we need to bring back the same subject with the third option, fourth option?
We look this for direction from the council. So if yes. The council directs us to do that, we do it.
That was the question. The direction was to bring back 12 years or 3 terms. And we can, if staff can bring back any number of options. So, yeah. Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
That's it.
I did have one question about this one. So if I'm reading it right, it was developed that if you serve 3 terms or 12 years, and then you have to sit out 3 terms or 12 years? Is that what I'm reading?
Or is it a special election? Does it stay at the 8 year?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
I think you're correct. Right now it's 8 years, so if you're on for 8 years, it has you taking off 8 years, and the draft that's before you shows that if you are on for
12 years,
that you're off for 12 years. And again, it's a policy choice of the council. You can do 4 years or...
Yeah. And well, and that was part of it, looking at it, go, where did that number come from? Did it just kind of pull out that we just said, well, we had 8, so we'll just put in 12? You know, who else does that? Where does the 12 come from? I mean, the county is, you serve 3 consecutive terms, then you have to sit out an election, which then you could run again. That's how the county does it, I believe. So that's another reason why I had an issue with this. I mean, when we first looked at this, the 8 years wasn't based on what the county was doing. It wasn't based on anything. It was just 8 years in, 8 years out, with no real reason of why that time was picked. And so I feel like we're doing that again here with 12 years in, 12 years out. So, thanks.
Thank you. All right, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I would, you know, as far as direction, discussion and direction, would bring it back with an option 3 that says no change. You know, that would be one of the, you know, options, actually have it on there. An option 4, which would be exactly as discussed, you know, basically revealing term limits. I made my decision. We have term limits every election. And I mean, I just, you know, this one, 100% get the idea behind it and the reason why we voted it in, and from a national perspective, we get it. There's, you know, all the data points that we have to show that this is, you know, really not an issue for us, and it actually restricts citizens being able to vote on people that they may want to vote for, or people to run. So, but as far as direction, that's what I would say is, you know, the other two options, and then to Councilmember Cutback's point, that was the same question I had, was that, you know, I understand probably why we did that. It was just reflected, well, it was 8 and 8 out, so we were going to have 12 and 12 out. If you truly go down that road, I would be way more in favor of kind of the, you know, precedent from the county, whether it's to sit out an election, 4 years, whatever the case may be. So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
I think we went to 12 because 10 wasn't reasonable. I mean, it kind of came up again with Councilman Hanford having 2 and 4, meaning 6 could only get elected for 4 more to go to 10. And my position would be the same, only I'd have to get elected twice more in 4 to get to 10. But there was no way, if you moved it to 12, could we either of us get to 12. So the new issue was either leave it at 8 or go 4 more to 12 due to the 4-year position instead of the 2-year position.
Get that. I think what the question is why we went to 12 on having to wait to run again.
Yeah.
That's really, and I understand, I think it just reflected the same as they had before.
Right.
You serve 8, you wait 8, right? And they just moved it to, well, you serve 12, you wait 12. You mean it?
So if term limits were taken off, somebody could come back next time.
Take an election off, or just leave it at the 8. But basically what I was saying is I would like to see in those options, the option 1 and option 2, personally, I mean, this, you know, for discussion,
right,
those options, I think it should reflect more in line with the county's term limits, where it's you just take an election off, or the original 8 and not bump it up to 12. Because the counter argument, even from those individuals proposed and said, well, hey, you can come back, right? You can run again. Well, 12 years.
So
it's quite a long time.
Are you advocating still that if you're in at all, you're in 4 years, 8 years, and you're unelected, you have to wait 8 years to vote again? Or if limits are taken off, you can come back next election, put your name in the file. Is that right?
Looking at me?
I'm asking.
Yes. So if there's no term limits, you can run as soon as, you know, there's election or an open position.
Okay.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is on option 1 and 2, and what Councilmember Cutback was saying is that, okay, let's say we do go to term limits at the 12, right? that as opposed to waiting 12 years to be able to run again, is that it would make more sense to mirror the county, where the county is, they do have term limits on the three terms, that essentially they have it in place where they say you just have to wait, you have to sit out an election cycle, essentially 4 years, and then you can run again. I would be in favor of that, for those two options.
Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. Not to be repetitive, but 76%. 76% of the people tell me that they want something, and it's a procedural issue. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that they can have it. Now, in my line of business, one of the things we look for is we look at things that work. The county works. So how about we add an option 5, which is replicate what the county has and do that. So now we have options 1, 2, 3 is nothing, 4 is get rid of it, and 5 would be the county, with one caveat that rather than having to sit out 4 years, because the election would be a 4-year break, you'd sit out 2 because we're at large. So technically someone could run for another position. That work? You have a question. Or you have a question.
I see.
Okay.
It's already under 2. Gotcha.
Right. So I could run
the list put in for 4 years.
Okay.
That's
however you want to do it. But you have it for after 12 years. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. We have an option 6. Okay. So council members, let's just run through things here, rather, because I don't know that we need to bring back 5 or 6 options. So obviously there's no change. There's a repeal. Now let's go ahead and talk about the 12s. Again, what I'm trying to do is I'm 12s, Seahawks. Okay, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to narrow this down because we might be able to consolidate it into 2 or into 1. The county, as I understand it, but I haven't read the code or the charter myself, allows for 3 consecutive terms. The terms are defined as 4 years, and then there's a provision made for unexpired terms for appointments. So I'm understanding there's an interest in having that as one of the options. I would acknowledge that 3 consecutive terms, that is option 2 in here, would sort of mirror that idea. So would council be comfortable, rather than us rehashing option 2, just coming back forward with replacing option 2 with whatever the county has, which, as I understand it, is 3 consecutive terms with either 4 years off or 1 term off before being eligible to run for election again? Okay.
Except what he said was except 1 election, not 1 4-year term before you're eligible.
Right. So for a non-district council, that would be a 2-year.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. Okay. And then, it sounds like there's, so then you were also talking about 12 consecutive years. Council initially seemed interested in doing the 12 consecutive years. Is there still an interest in bringing back the option of 12 consecutive years, or is the 3 consecutive terms more interesting to council? So you want to, does everybody still want to see the 12 consecutive years?
Question.
Yeah, Councilor Scarborough.
Again, to do that is only to do something to accommodate Councilman Hanford and myself. Because if you call them terms, we're only going to get 10. 12 consecutive years, we're going to be gone in 10.
Okay, how about if I throw out there another way, if the attorney says that this would meet your another policy objective, 3 consecutive 4-year terms. So that would be
a possibility for us to get 16.
Okay.
Right?
The thing is that each of you...
And that, I don't care, because I'm not going to live there.
Right. That each of you is served 2 years.
I don't care anymore.
But each of you has served 2 years, it's going to be difficult to achieve, if everybody gets reelected, it's going to be difficult to achieve equity. You know, you're either going to have two extra years or two fewer.
Okay. And I'm just trying to be fair to the young man.
We'll go back and we'll work on the options and we'll bring back forward probably 5, maybe 6 options. So.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll go talk. Okay.
Well,
I'd like to.
So we're not mind reading. Let me see if we're clear.
Yeah.
My understanding is you want 3 options, no change, no term limits, and the county language, which is 3 years, three 4-year terms with a qualifier for appointments.
Good.
That it?
Do you still want the 12 consecutive years?
No.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Question. I'm sorry, Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. So are you bringing this back for further discussion, or are you trying to cut the vote?
We are bringing this back for further discussion. Because there are 3 options there, and for us to know how to write an amendment to the ordinance, we would need direction as to which of those 3 options you want.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Could I request that there be all 3 motions prepared so that, because no offense, but we've been discussing this for months. So it would be nice if we're going to have just further discussion next week, then let's take some action and have the 3 options listed.
Will you?
Sure.
My concern is if they bring back 3 options, whoever gets their first finger on the button to make the motion. And we're going to do a battle that. I just would like to have further discussion and kind of some kind of consensus. I think we're kind of close. I know that, I wouldn't mind seeing term limits go away, but I have this overwhelming desire to listen to my constituents and try to give them what I can, especially in something like this, which is procedural. So that's my only concern about having the motions come back. I just feel it's going to be a battle royale some degree. Thank you.
Well, can I respond to that? I saw it before, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Councilmember Camp, that's a very good, wise move. However, from my understanding from everyone up here, at least at this point in time, we're all above the race to the lights thing. I haven't seen that for a while. So, you're welcome to your opinion, but I would just say, since we've been talking about this over and over and over, to put it on the agenda for next week for further discussion, and then for someone to just try and sneak in, that's not... I don't see that as one of us. I think we would want to discuss it, like we were out asking them to bring back, and then have the 3 options available so that we can just move on instead of taking more time up week after week. So that's why I would respond to you there.
So council members, one of the things that we can do, I mean, you do have... You have track changes of laws here. One of the things that we can do is we can have, bring back forward the ordinance that has already been written that council considered with the repeal of the term limits. And Mr. Mosley can go ahead and work with staff and our attorney to see if an ordinance can be brought forward that is the 3 4-year terms with qualifier option. And then you still have the ability to discuss it. You have the ability to, to act on it. In addition to that, you'll have something that is in a final form that's been reviewed by the attorney. And again, what you see right now is staff just putting something together for discussion purposes this evening. Councilmember Cutterback?
I think that's smart. I mean, we already have an ordinance that says our 8-year, that's the no change.
And we already had the one we looked at before that repealed it. That's already been created. So to bring back next week this final one with the three consecutive terms or the 12 years, similar to the county. So it's just creating that one and having all three. So that makes complete sense. There's still a discussion. We might not take action, but then we have those available if we want to take action because they're already almost available right now. Right. Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Again, two thoughts. Exactly what I just said. As long as there's room to discuss next week before we take a vote on one of the options. Mm-hmm. And the other thought process, we've been at it for how many months? What's the difference between 1 week and 2 weeks? To have discussion next week, to come down to the option and have the vote the weekend or so. Six of one, half dozen of the others.
Thank you. Do you have anything further, Mr. Morrison?
No, I think...
So, I've been advised that it's 3 weeks because it takes 2 readings.
If we have 2 readings of the ordinance, right? We can do a first reading next week. You have a week to change your mind and switch back. Right?
Yes, I think that we'll have, as you suggest, two of the ordinances are pretty much written.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have to check with the county ordinance because I understand that's the model that you would like us to use. And I'm not sure that model has everything that you've discussed here today, but that will be the model that we will use, will be the county ordinance, to bring back for your consideration on that third option.
Okay. Anything further on this? Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Mosley. Thank you, Council. Finished business. New business, item number one. This is AB 17044, ordinance number 004. I'm sorry, that's been pulled. New business item number two, AB 17-045, discussion Snohomish Health District proposal, ILA, regarding per capita funding. Mr. Mosley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. Before you this evening for discussion and direction is regarding the per capita ILA with the Snohomish Health District. Last summer and fall, the health district presented a presentation to the council requesting that the 2017 budget include a $2 per capita of funding fee for the Snohomish Health District. The budget, as approved by the council, does provide funding for a $2 per capita funding for the health district. The interlocal agreement that you have before you has been revised to include the city attorney's revision. And I have to say, I've incorrectly stated and inserted language giving the city of Monroe preference in the case of service reductions. On my research into this, I reviewed the presentations that the health district provided to the council, both in August, I think it was, and in November. And in those presentations, they articulated some specific additional services that they would provide to the city if a $2 per resident was provided. And their specific language in their presentation was, this is number five in your agenda bill, if Monroe contributed $2 for every resident in 2017, we would help you with one, trainings on trauma-informed approaches for Monroe school district's staff and families, more proactive in nuisance properties and homeless camps, increased partnership in local planning and policy efforts, and data and assessments. The revised interlocal agreements actually list those additional services that the health district offered in their presentation to you, rather than a kind of prohibition if services were to be reduced. So, with that, the interlocal agreement is before you for discussion, and if you wish to proceed with it, we would bring it back for action. Oh, one more thing I should point out. In the middle of your agenda bill there, it says status of other cities with the ILA. I was updated yesterday that in addition to the ones that have approved and signed, in addition to that, Bothell and Everett have approved and signed, and pending council action, Mukilteo is pending sample sent council action. So,
thank you, sir. Councilmember Gamble.
At the dollar, correct, dollar. They're approved and signed at a dollar, not $2.
They're at the levels that are shown there.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Personally, I'm not in favor of increasing to $2 for a variety of reasons. I know I was not here for the vote in regards to the relinquishing our interest within the building. This specific to the increase to the $2, there's several things that if I were going to vote in favor or want to move down that path, item 5 to me is very, very weak from the standpoint of what's the measurement, what are we talking about, trainings and trauma enforced approaches for Monroe School District in school, what is that, how, what's the frequency, what's the program, how do we measure that, being more proactive in nuisance properties and homeless camps, great, what is that, what's that program, what's the frequency? Is it, you know, are they hiring extra, you know, officers or personnel that they're going to be training? What does that look like? Increased partnership and local planning and policy efforts, again, what does that mean? That's very subjective. There's not a lot of meat there. So, and when I look collectively across, you know, at the cities, I see, you know, Snohomish at the $2 and, you know, essentially in the county, but other than that, all the other cities are sticking at the dollar rate. And I just have a hard time really kind of saying that this is a good use of taxpayers' money to, you know, to increase to the $2 without A, having some sort of, okay, what are we getting for that additional amount? And there's even a little bit of, okay, what are we getting today? So, I mean, we've asked that piece, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that, you know, they helped with the cleanup, you know, over there, or they helped at the, you know, at the prison. What proactive services, what really, you know, are we getting there? And then why are cities such as large as Mill Creek and Mountain Lake Terrace not contributing at all? Is that what I'm seeing here?
That's the amount that they are, that's for them.
And they, but they do receive the benefit, correct?
They receive the, I don't know, I haven't looked at their ILAs.
Yeah.
So they do receive the basic services of the health district, is my understanding.
Right. So my concern is that, you know, basically you have certain cities that are subsidizing, and that's a very well off city as of Mill Creek, and it just does not seem right to me that we would increase our contribution and the tax dollars coming from Monroe citizens without some sort of measurable, you know, return that is there. That's my two cents.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
So, Councilman Gamble, are you suggesting that we leave it at a dollar, or we leave it at zero, or $1.27? What's your...
Yeah, the dollars where we have been.
No, we think that we could be
numbered at zero.
Zero.
Whatever we were at previously.
So you're okay, leaving it at zero. And this is a yearly vote of the council? Or is this, if we vote on it this year, it's ongoing until we vote against it?
No. What is the. Just for the
yeah, we vote on it every year?
It's for 1 year. It sunsets December 31st of this year.
Okay.
Any other council members with discussion or direction, things you'd like to see change? I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutterback.
When I first joined council, I sat on the Snohomish County Health District Board as a representative, and I got to see kind of what the district did, and there's a huge benefit to what the health board does do in the district throughout the county, and it benefits all the county. So I would. Somewhat surprised when they came and they said we're going to give you additional services, because really what I had seen and heard and talking with people, they needed this money so they didn't have to continue laying off. So I think it was kind of a failed of, we're going to give you more, when really, you know, going out to the cities makes sense to have the cities help contribute to do the work of the health district, because a lot of counties, a lot of cities and other counties do support the health district. It does benefit everybody. When there's whooping cough outbreak, when there's health issues throughout the county, when there's a flu epidemic, they're here. They do, you know, you might not notice all the time, but they are here. However, it is disappointing to see when you have cities like Mukilteo or Mill Creek, their demographics could support, and their median income. I've looked at all that data. I look at it for my job. So I know that there's high-end wage earners and incomes in those two communities and are choosing either not to support, like Mill Creek or Mukilteo. I don't see in here. I saw the...
It's pending action.
I don't know if it's pending or... That's dismaying. You know, originally I was really hoping all the cities would chip in and do the $2 that they were asking. And I do believe it is important for us to support the work that the health district does. I am now having somewhat second thoughts on doing the $2 because of what came before us after we voted with the interest in the building and us relinquishing that, which I think was, you know, the right thing to do based on the city staff input and the data and all that. But I think looking at this, I'm more of mine to do not do the $2 and do a dollar. I do believe that we should do something to support it. But I think getting more in line with other cities, so we are not paying more for other cities that aren't contributing, that probably should contribute or should contribute more. So I'm of the mind to do either nothing or to do $1. That would be my preference for the $2. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Completely agree that we need to do something. Public health is extremely important, and you know, we really should support it. And frankly, I think we should be a leader in supporting it. And this isn't the first time we've discussed this. I mean, we've discussed this multiple times, and when we set our budget, we committed to the health district, and for the sake of public health, that we would contribute this. And you know, I do feel that we honor that commitment. You know, it is, to me, it is very important. The discussions we have in amongst other Board of Health members, you know, perceptions are strictly that, and not some of these cities that are contributing lower amounts or not at all. I don't believe that they're as well off as what sometimes people perceive just in the conversations I've had with their representatives on these health boards. I could be getting the wrong perception, or they I could be getting the wrong information, but you know, that's just the information I'm getting. So at the end of the day, public health is extremely important. They are here, whether it's our schools or residents or council member Scarborough says, or residents in the gated community. They're here to serve, and I feel that they do a good job at it, and prevent quite a bit. The thing that I admire about the health district and the work that the board has done, frankly, this should have been done years ago. Coming to the cities and asking for financial help should have been done years ago, and they waited until now, and the health district has the reasons, but over the last 2 years to really kind of become efficient and work on some of the policies and be able to streamline what they offer. The work's been incredible. The restructuring of the governance of the board, instead of I mean, we still meet as a, it's still a 15-member board once a month, but a lot of the decision-making is done with the executive committee, which I'm happy to sit on, and along with some of the other representatives that have contributed or committed to the dollar amount. We've got three county council members that sit on that committee, also committing $2. So, you know, I think that, you know, Monroe has a voice on the leadership team, and it is a. I've been very proud that we've been able to take the lead in this, and you know, but I do get the concern. But I do think that we still honor our commitment and support the public health the way that we said we would. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Councilmember Rasmussen is closer to the health district people than any of us. He has a little different view, and I respect that. I also, in the lines of how come the richer cities are giving nothing, I go with some of the poorer cities that are giving something. And I go with Councilman Cutterback with the $1 and see what that gives us this year and reevaluate.
Thank you. That's what we're getting for.
Thank you. I just had a question. Was the were you looking into the change with the, because of the number from the gated community up there on the hill? Were we not sure that if the $2 includes the prison?
Their presumption is the $2 includes our entire population, which would include the prison population.
Okay, I just have this recollection of like once we all approved it and then we all realized that it included that there was going to be a revisiting
that's,
it?
That's part of what we're doing today.
Okay, so that's, thank you.
Yeah, it's not set in stone. You approved as part of the budget the ability to do this. It doesn't mean that you need to do the full amount.
Sure.
Yeah, and so, right, that was part of the discussion we had last time was what sort of services do they provide the Department of Corrections, and this is completely a legislative decision. You can lower it, you can raise it, you can pull people out, you know, the population and whatnot. You still have the floor before.
So just to clarify, so what has been our communication to the health district?
Just the $2 per capita. They made a request for $2 per capita.
I guess specifically, because from what Councilor Rasmussen is saying, we've already committed to them $2 per capita. But what specifically, what language do we specifically say? We've approved it in our budget?
That's all that
or did we say
all that I would have conveyed.
Be glad.
Yeah, no. All that I would have conveyed is that the council considered it and it was added to the budget for 2017. The reason why we're looking at the ILA is that before action can actually be taken,
sure,
this sort of an agreement needs to be in place. So
okay.
That's exactly right.
So the reason I bring it up is because I'm all for honoring commitments, 100%. But in my mind, I have never committed and said, for sure, we're going to do $2 per capita for everyone in the city limits, including everyone on the hill. So I think it's important that we clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you. And let me get caught up with the lights here. Councilmember Gamble, you're next, so go for it.
Yeah, and what we committed to was discussing it. And then from the standpoint of it's just a smart budgeting thing to do, that, hey, if this is something that is a potential that you're going to budget and it's going to come for discussion, I mean, that was smart to put it into the 2017 budget.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference, in my opinion. So we have absolutely not committed to saying, hey, we're going to do this. We committed to, yes, we will take the data and we will review it and we'll make a decision, but it was the right thing to put it in the budget just in case we do make a council decision. Now we're not going back and trying to make a budget revision to the negative, right? That hurts us. You know, the piece that I'll go back to on the item, you know, five there. Of course, for us, if we're putting a dollar, does that mean we get more because we weren't doing anything before, or does the more only apply if we step up to the $2 level?
Their presentation said if Monroe contributed $2.
So if we step up to two, then you would get the more services. But I would just point out that everything there is more. All of those they're currently doing for us today. Correct? Because every one of those items, it says we could help you with, contributed to it, that we could help you with trainings on trauma and families. Okay, that's the difference. But then the next ones are more proactive in nuisance properties and home clamps. So they do it today. Increased partnership in local planning and policy efforts and data assessments. They do that currently today. Correct?
I think so.
I just go back. You know, I have to, you know, bring up Jeff. They have come previously. This isn't something that's new. I mean, that presentation has been given many, 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 many times. And I just, I struggle with what I think it was Councilmember Kotovac brought up, where we heard that story change over time, where it was very much we needed to stay afloat, to now we're going to give you more services. And without some sort of blueprint that says that, you know, hey, this is what this means, to me it's just, you know, we're going to contribute. What's the total dollar amount at the two per?
I think it's $36,000.
Okay, so $36,000, right, which I'll just remind, we just relinked to it, we had $26,000, I think it was $26,000 that we put towards, and I know all the background on that, but 20 years of you know, appreciation and a property, they say, hey, we're going to relinquish any, you know, rights to that, and then now we want to give an additional $36,000, you know, dollars in addition to that, and very potentially could receive the same services we are getting today. That's a real possibility, because there is nothing in here other than when the words more or could that says this is what you're going to get with this interlocal agreement in addition with measurables. That's all.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Councilmember Gale just answered my first question. How many people are above that?
I think the total. 25. I think the total occupancy is 26,000 plus or minus. I think currently, obviously, it changes daily.
Well, right.
But currently, it's about 23,000. Is my understanding.
2,300.
Sorry. Really big.
Whoa! That math is up.
He's been busy.
So we have a population which literally does not pay any taxes, and that we are going to be kept. They want us to be held accountable for this donation, right? Now, do we receive additional services because of the prison? And I think Mr. Rasmus, that's the only question I have.
Would you anything else over again?
Please do.
What Diane said here when that came up was we also gain from that population in consideration for other things. And we never got an answer as to what that is, but I imagine it has to do with you get consideration for 18,000 some hundred something. 18,000 people,
right,
when applying for a grant or something else,
okay,
as opposed to, you know, she didn't say what it was.
Could I clarify there? It helps in some cases, and it hurts in other cases. So if you've got a threshold that's 10,000 people, that's not where we are today, and under 10,000, you're going to be in the small cities category for a grant application, but over 10,000, you're in the medium cities. It could, you know, it could theoretically hurt. So I would just be cautious in that comparison. Like Councilmember Camp points out, you know, that's government-owned property. Those are residents. They have a different impact on our community because they're contained, but they still
have an impact on our community and in a certain way, and they don't pay taxes. So it's one of those things that it's really hard to strike a comparison on the benefits and detriments.
And I don't disagree with any of what you said or Councilman Camp said. I'm just saying, Ms. Diane said there is a give back for counting us at some point, sometimes, and so we might want to think about that when we think about, I don't want to pay for them in the health. It was never clarified.
I just need a little bit more information on it, but that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
No, that was going to be the point I was bringing up, just when we discussed this last time, Diane indicated that we did receive income and this has to, I don't know if you know what exactly that is.
There's a number of state shared revenues that are dispersed based on per capita income, or per capita population, or it's per capita, so like liquor excise taxes, a lot of it goes to the police department. That's the one that I always think of right off the top of my head, but when they look at the Office of Fiscal Management for Washington State and look at our official population, it includes prison count, so then our state share incomes would, we benefit from that.
So, whether it's dollar for dollar, I don't know, but it to me, it sounds like it's pretty equitable, as far as the income we receive from the state with the president.
I mean, to find equitable, I won't get into the philosophy of it. We're still being underfunded regardless, but yes, we would not get if we didn't have the president.
You know, if we're funding stuff like this for the that also benefits them, it's not like we're not getting income from the prison in some way. You know, it kind of sounds like it's similar to the taxes that we get, but it's just coming directly from the state. So we're not totally out with that.
Thank you. Councilor Scarborough?
No more for me.
Huh?
No more for me. I got out in 11 and a half.
Okay. All right. So what's council's pleasure then? We have an interlocal agreement. It was brought here today for discussion and direction. Does council have direction this evening? Do you want us to bring this back? Do you want more metrics in here? Do you like the text that was added here? Do you want the City of Monroe preference added in that we talked about at the last meeting? What's your direction? Councilmember Scarborough.
I'd support the dollar.
Okay. Any other?
I would support the dollar.
Okay. Is there objection to us bringing this back with a dollar? Councilmember Gamble. I'll acknowledge your light.
Or the state status quo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we do with the other one. Yeah,
kill us response to status quo.
Two options. Understood. All right.
Councilmember
Rasmussen?
Two.
Okay. Three options.
What you need in terms of the text and
you can suggest a dollar for me.
No, you're not.
Option
534. 35. Mr. Mosley.
So, on the text language, we could bring back the language that's here, that they offered additional services if the two-dollar option is decided on by the council. Or there was also the... Now, I would concur with you that it's not definitive, and it if we decided on the $2, then we would negotiate what level of services from that we receive and bring that back to council approval. Or we could bring back the language about if services declined in the health district, that if we were at the $2 level, we would have preference over cuts that may be made at other jurisdictions. That was the other language that we discussed. And I could bring both of those back for the council to decide on. Is that what you'd like me to bring both of them back?
I don't like the $1 option, but.
Say that again. I missed.
You're asking us for it, but I'm saying I would only want to see the dollar option.
Gotcha.
Myself. Yeah. Discussion direction. So I haven't spoken for it yet, but I don't know. So I'm speaking for it.
Okay, cool. Okay, so one of the things we're looking at here in the agenda bill under number 5 is we've taken the language that they gave us in the PowerPoint presentation for $2 per capita, right? One other option is we could communicate back to the health district that council was looking at $1 per capita and what would they agree to in an interlocal agreement.
Yes, we could.
Okay. Is council amenable to that, that for the next week or so we communicate back with the health district and find out what they would suggest for the text?
I would suggest this will probably be on the 21st.
Yeah.
Sounds like we've got some additional work to do.
It's retroactive to January 1st.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Thank you, everybody. All right, the next item on the agenda this evening is under new business. This is item number 3, AB 17-046, setting the date for consideration of Eaglemont 4 preliminary plat and planned residential development. Mr. Bowker.
Do I need to move it?
No, this one. You got two, and then the next one. The third one I'm going to do. You have the one. First one. So, Mainview Washington LLC has applied for a preliminary plat and PRD for 115 lots on 27.75 acres up off of 191st. So it's basically just to the west of their other plats that they're working on right now up there. That has gone to the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner has recommended approval to the city council. You were emailed the hearing examiner's recommendation today. And today is the date for you to set the date to consider that recommendation. And we are requesting that you set that date for March 14th. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. No questions. But I move to set the date of March 14, 2017 for the City Council's closed record consideration of the hearing examiner's recommendation on the proposed Eaglemont Division 4 preliminary plat and PRD. File numbers 15-SDPL-002 and 15-PRPL-001.
Second. We have a motion for the requested action in Agenda Bill 17046 and a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Scarborough.
Just for a point of reference, I'm surprised Liz hasn't caught this. It's 15SDPL-0002 and 15PRPL-0001. You did two zeros, and this shows three, so I don't know if that makes it.
I would like to amend my motion by stating. 15-SDPL-0002 and 15-PRPL-0001. And thank you for the
correction. Rather than voting on an amendment to the motion, let's go ahead and accept the requested action as presented in the agenda bill. Thank you for noting that. Councilmember Scarborough, I did note that. I decided not to point that out.
Good catch, yes.
Sharp as a tack.
All right, so the motion is first and from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action as written in Agenda Bill Number 17-446. Make sure I get that zero in there. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody. All right, next item on the agenda is new business item number 4. This is AD 17-047, setting the date for consideration of the Clyer Parmenter Preliminary Plat PRD, Planned Residential Development Modification. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. In December, you approved the preliminary plat for some lots off of Chain Lake Road, and after that was approved, they requested some modifications to that plat. Some of the modifications were able to be taken care of at staff level. Two of them are above staff's pay grade, so they need to come back to the city council. They went through the public hearing process. The hearing examiner has recommended their approval. You have received that recommendation. This is the time to set March 14th as the date to consider that recommendation.
Thank you. Council members, questions or motion? Councilmember Davis.
So I'll move to set the date of March 14th, 2017 for the City Council's proposed record consideration of the hearing examiner's recommendation on the Clyer Parmenter Preliminary Plan Residential Development PRD modification, file number PLPRD 2016-01.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Davis, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action identified in Agenda Bill Number 17-047. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Feilberg. Next item is final action number 1. This is AB 17-048, number 003-2017, approving Curry Farms rezoning for final reading, and resolution number 007-2017, approving Curry Farms preliminary plat and planned residential development PRD. And Mr. Feilberg, will you be presenting?
Thank you. Thank you. As we discussed last council meeting last week, Hanson Homes is proposing a 25-lot preliminary plat and planned residential development on slightly less than 5 acres off of 171st, just west of 522. That's the picture of the site, and then that's the plat itself. Last week, there was the first reading on the rezone, which changed the zoning of this property, which is necessary for that plat to be approved. So we're asking this week for the adoption of the rezone and then a motion to adopt the resolution approving the preliminary plat. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Council members, questions or motion? Council member attorney. Mr. Lowe.
Thank you for the promotion.
I appreciate that.
I just wanted to reiterate that this is a quasi-judicial matter, and technically the council should be undertaking its standard appearance of fairness disclosures, and I'd be happy to lead the council through that process with your permission, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Council, I'll try to make this as quick as possible, but as you're aware from previous proceedings, whenever the council does act on a site-specific land use matter like this that's subject to a public hearing, it's considered quasi-judicial under state law, and for that reason is subject to the appearance of fairness doctrine. I'll ask you a brief series of questions concerning any interests or communications that you may have had concerning this matter, and for the sake of efficiency and expediency, I'll interpret your silence as being a negative answer, and we'll just continue through. So please only just let me know if you have an affirmative response. First of all, the appearance of fairness doctrine requires that the quasi-judicial land use actions of the city are fair in not only fact but in appearance, and the legal standard is whether or not a disinterested person being appraised of all relevant facts would be reasonably justified in thinking that a particular decision maker's interest or involvement in the matter may affect his or her judgment. And with that standard in mind, I'll first ask a series of questions concerning interest. Does any council member have a financial interest in the project or the underlying property? Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record? Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with a party of record? Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the project site? Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should fairly be disclosed? Please let the record note that there were no affirmative responses to any of those questions. The second series of inquiries concern impartiality. Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the project? Has any council member prejudged any of the issues? Has any council member not reviewed the record materials for the project? Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner? Again, please let the record show that none of the council members responded affirmatively. The final series of questions has to do with ex parte communications. Has any council member had any ex parte contacts regarding this project while the proposal has been pending before the council? Again, please let the record show that there was no affirmative response. Mr. Mayor, that concludes my inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. All right, Council. Do you have anything further?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions on the briefing that was provided or a motion? Councilmember Ginsburg.
I move to adopt ordinance number 003-2017, amending the zoning designation in the Curry Farms rezone area from urban residential 9600, UR 9600 to urban residential 6000, UR 6000, setting forth supportive findings providing for severability, fixing a time when the same shall become effective, REZN 2016-01.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Cutterback for the request of action A in Agenda Bill number 17-048. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Now, for the record, please note that there is not a request of action B. Council?
I move to approve resolution number 007-2017. Adopting the hearing examiner's finding of fact, conclusions of law, recommendations, and conditions of approval for the Curry Farms preliminary plat and planned residential development. PLPRD 2016-03.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action C in Agenda Bill number 17-048. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody. We're going to go on now to...
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Councilor reports. Councilor Cutback, do you have a report for the Community Transit Board?
Yes. We met last Thursday. And just approval of obviously committee minutes and vouchers and all that. And then there was a discussion and approval of a resolution number 0-117, and that was allowing the staff to approve bills that were $100,000, so they raised the limit to $150,000. That the board then had to approve. They also approved a Swift Bus Rapid Transit BRT Orange Line feasibility study, and that would be something that would be east-west, and it would be linking when the light rail goes to Linwood. It would be linking up that light rail to go east-west to other areas. So that was approved. So they'll be doing a feasibility study on that. There was also something about, this is a little over my head, a quote from you, but open line data. So they're doing studies on testing through March, where they're trying to have everybody have access to different platforms on bus routes, and when there's so many different platforms out there, but they're trying to find one where they can access all the data. So they're testing that out so you can see when a bus is coming, leaving, arriving, and all that. So they're trying to get an app that can coordinate it all. So it's pretty impressive. So they're testing that right now, and they'll publish that data in April, how successful it is. And then a big part of the meeting talked about they're starting their process of proposed service changes. So they're doing a scheduled outreach right now, and the changes would happen in 2017 in September, and then March 2018. So they start their process now. So I'll kind of pass this around. You guys can take a look, or it's just one. So they want to kill paper, but. So they do quite a large outreach throughout the community from March until April. They don't have anything happening in Monroe for that. To be honest, there's not a lot of proposed changes out here for September or next March. So that's something, you know, that's kind of our P4 group wants to look at. Hey, we'd like to propose some changes to the bus route. I know we looked at that before when they were canceling one or trying to eliminate one. But so they are doing outreach. They're really focusing on Highway 9 and into Mill Creek and areas of that nature. So they were looking at expanding some Sunday and Saturday service kind of out here, but that would be it. So there's that. There's a lot on the website. So if you want to look at the proposed changes, you can look at that.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and go down the line now. Councilmember Gill.
Yes. So let's see. March 17th. So it is upon us. The Monroe Public School Foundation's auction on the 17th. There's still room. This is a personal invitation for everybody that's up there. I failed to say that it was a personal invitation the other eight times I've talked about it. Or if you have any sort of item that you may want to offer up for auction or to go into auction that we can use to help raise money. Thank you, Patsy and the YMCA for the membership for the auction. If anybody has anything, that would be fantastic. That we could for procurement. I've got stuff from the local Starbucks. We've got some folks have donated their vacation homes. They will be auctioning off. There's Steve Argent jerseys, Tyler Rocket footballs. There's a sweet night at Xfinity Arena for the Mercy Me concert that will be there. There is tickets to the Fifth. It's all over the board of stuff that you can bid on. It's always a fun night, and all of the proceeds go to kids here in the Sky Valley area, whether it's a Sky Valley Education Center or anybody that's in the middle school districts. Your teacher grants, money for college scholarships is a big piece. And then we have an emergency needs fund where we help kids that may not be able to afford instruments or cleats or stuff for any sort of sporting event that they may want to partake in. Always a good night. The goal is to, right last year we raised around $100,000 for kids. We really would like to hit that again or get up in the $125,000 range. But it's going to take the whole balance. So those that are interested, I'm more than willing to put you down at my table. I've already heard from a couple of you, but it always is a very rewarding night, and we have a ton of fun. And the topper this year is it's on St. Patrick's Day, so there will be Venus. And shamrocks and all kinds of stuff. So that would be a lot of fun. So those that are interested, please let me know after the meeting, and I will make sure to reserve your seats. But we would want to know as soon as possible, because if there's more than four of us, obviously we'd want to make sure that we publish that, that there may be with us there. So there's already two of us that are going to be there. So if we're going to get another two, we would want to make sure the mayor and his wife will be there as well. So thank you for that. So next week, I'm bummed. There's two events going on next month, the 14th, and they're cutting. I was going to bring it up And then I saw it was on our email on the baseball field. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to get up there since they, I mean, they're practicing. The season has kicked off for the schools, and they get to see the additional two fields that are next to the one that, that, you know, that we helped with last year. The softball field opening last year, and $100,000 that we put towards that, and now the auxiliary field and then the boys' baseball field are both in use, and it is fantastic because I don't know if you've looked outside, but the weather has been horrendous.
Yeah.
Right? But they've been able to practice.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. That they, you know, they're not missing out even when it's colder than all get out. But I'm really bummed I can't make the ribbon cutting for the baseball. That's next, or on the 14th, so hopefully you get as many of us there. And then the Snohomish County Cities, I was just wondering how many of us were going to that one, because I do plan on going. That's next, that's that evening. I can, when we're driving up from Puyallup, so I should be able to make that one, but it's on the regional economic
framework.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was significant one. So is there...
I believe we've had one council member indicate that...
What night is that?
Thursday the
16th. Was it the
16th? Thursday the 16th.
Sorry, 16th.
5:30 to 8 o'clock at the Embassy Suites in Linwood.
That's the house.
Where are you going?
So if you... If members of the council wish to attend, please contact Liz, and we'll make sure to make the reservations for you.
And notice if we need to notice, correct?
Correct. And notice if we need to notice.
So that, it's really cool. If you can't go to for the softball thing, if you can't go to the ribbon cutting, go check it out. It's really neat. There's lights. It's cool as all get up. And then the other, I wanted to thank Becky for getting the information. I was gone last week, so in the rears, I had to take an emergency trip to the Midwest, which was not the best week to be in the Midwest with tornadoes and all that kind of stuff, but it's all good. I do, in reviewing some of the stuff, the service levels with the call center in regards to Republic Services, you guys recall, the data that Becky produced that they have given us, there is some alarming information in there. I really feel like you should bring that back. I mean, their service levels are in the 35% range, and actually at their peak, at their top service level, even back in the third quarter of last year, they were only in the 75% range, 75% service level. And it's just my experience, anytime you dip below an 80%, it is never a good thing. And their abandoned rate, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, was around 15%, at different things. And that concerns me, especially since, we had that first one, we're going to have another build cycle in the near future. And it just doesn't appear to me that even though they know their dates when those bills go out, when you look back at the data, the hard data of three quarters, it doesn't appear like, well, A, the trending is getting worse, and B, even when they were at their best, they were not meeting expectations. So to me, that is counter to what they spoke to in chambers when we negotiated the contract specifically around service levels and being able to serve those customers around billing inquiries. So if I can get support, I'd like to bring that back to review the information that Becky put.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool. That's it. That's all I got.
Just a second. I'm listening to the sidebar. So we, there's a, they'd like to bring this back for discussion. So we'll just go ahead and we'll bring that back in the next week or two. I'll follow up with Mr. Mosley on scheduling that. Right. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that down for us.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough, your light is on.
What's an abandonment rate?
So you have a number of calls offered. That basically how many phone calls are coming into the call center, then there's a number called answer, and then there's a number that basically just hung up because they got tired of that's an abandonment rate.
Okay, and the other thing, that question, the opening of the ball field had the date, but it didn't have the time.
3 o'clock, if I remember right. I got it right here.
Is it back there by
3 p.m. is the ribbon cutting ceremony.
Back by the other field?
Yeah, the one where we did the other ribbon cutting.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's like a field of dreams. I'm trying to tell you. After looking at just a barren field for so many years.
Okay. I'm trying to picture that sort of people coming out of the cornfield.
Yes. Field of dreams.
Synthetic
out of the
They're
coming out of
the cornfield.
So with that,
it's good to be back. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I apologize for walking in late again this evening, but I am a prisoner to the 405-522.
No. We heard about the traffic from Councilmember Campbell.
Yeah. It was lovely tonight. Anyways, with that, tomorrow night, my plan is to be at the WashDOT meeting.
Yes.
If I have to high school.
Yes.
Hopefully I'll get there by 7 o'clock.
So. 7 days.
Yes.
If I walk in late.
You'll know why.
Yeah. Other than that, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
This Saturday, it's the big annual dodgeball tournament at the Boys Friends Club. Invite everyone to come out and play. If you don't want to come out and play, come out the day before. I could use the practice, so come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It was a good event last year and serves the kids in our community. So, and then for Mr. Mosley, March 21st, I will be out. So I'm a little out of here.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Hanford.
No, nothing to report.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I'm sorry to miss last week. My my daughter will be going into middle school next year.
Oh.
So we had middle school intro night at the River last Tuesday, so it lasted until about after 8:30. So impressive, the middle school and just the engagement and the things they offer, and exciting to see this go to that next level. So the WashDOT meeting is tomorrow night, 7 to 8:30.
It'll be a presentation.
Okay.
With Q&A.
She's going to be late to school.
And I will try to make it to the ball field one if you guys see. So that's 3 o'clock on the 14th.
Yes.
We'll try to make that.
Thank you.
Me too, Liz.
Councilmember Scarborough.
The Thursday, everything else has been answered. The Thursday dinner at Embassy Suites, is everybody else going with me?
I'm going.
Okay, and you're coming from the south, so you'll just stop there over here?
We want to talk. We can talk afterwards.
That's all I had, other than I went to the Snohomish County as a steering committee meeting, and I reported on that last week, and I'm supposed to meet with Cynthia Pruitt tomorrow to give me some schooling on what that's all about. So I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, nothing else to report.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to staff. Mr. Swanson.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm getting used to that. Police Department report.
Chief.
Thank you.
Before Deputy Chief Bernard does that, I want to give you an update on our social worker situation. We've had the ILA agreement at the county for the last 3 weeks. The first 2 weeks it sat on the attorney's desk. It has now moved to the risk management, which I understand is the executive's office. I at times thought that our council moved at a slow speed, but compared to the county, you're lightning quick. So I've seen glaciers in Antarctica move faster than there are carriers. So that's where it is right now.
Yes.
We anticipated having this person on board March 1st, obviously, as one of my officers tells me that hope is the first step to disappointment.
Wow.
What a lead-in.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman, I'm just going to talk briefly about some arrests and accomplishments. On February 7th, Officer Tucker stopped a vehicle on Kelsey Street for expired tabs. The driver was suspended in the third degree. After consent to search, Officer Tucker found drug paraphernalia and drugs, also numerous bank cards and reward cards. Researching the bank cards, and he was able to find victims that had their vehicles prowled in Everett. Drugs were found in the vehicle, heroin and methamphetamine, and the driver was charged with three drug violations as well as possession of stolen property. On February 9th, the Officer Wolf stopped the vehicle on Kelsey Street in Maine for no front license plate and speeding. The driver was again suspended in the third degree. We're starting to see a pattern here, aren't we? Drug paraphernalia was observed in the vehicle, which he then impounded to the police department for a search warrant. After obtaining the search warrant, he located $6,526 in cash and approximately 512 grams of heroin, which is about a pound of heroin. He also found 1.2 grams of marijuana and some prescription medication. The driver did admit that he was going to sell the heroin. He was booked in multiple felony charges. January 24th, our PROAC team observed a vehicle in a parking lot with suspicious activity, which we believed was related to retail theft. The vehicle was contacted after it left the parking lot. It had a female driver who had a suspended driver's license. There were also other occupants in the vehicle. Drug paraphernalia and suspected stolen credit cards were observed. A search warrant was obtained in this case. Upon serving the search warrant, found multiple checkbooks, multiple computers, tablets, jewelry, watches, personal identification that didn't belong to any of the occupants in the car. A follow-up on these items found that they led to a burglary and vehicle prowls in Edmonds, Linwood, Everett, and Snohomish County. Further investigation, the PROAC team believed these people were selling this stolen property on a website called OfferUp. On February 28th, PROAC officers met to purchase some property that was offered on it. Offer up on the website, and the same vehicle that they'd arrested the folks in on January 24th showed up selling stolen property. At this time, all four occupants were booked in the Snohomish County Jail on drug charges and other charges. Chief already spoke of the embedded social worker. Yes, sir.
Mr. Scarborough, has this Offer Up website been shut down?
No.
Can it be?
It's a legitimate website for the most part. It's a lot like Craigslist, that type of a thing. They do a lot of legitimate business, but they also have some perks on it.
Okay, so.
Chief spoke about the embedded social worker, so I'm going to pass on that one. We sent officers to train the trainer. Craig Robertson and Daryl Stanley went to that for below 100 training. Below 100 training is to try to reduce the officer-involved deaths to below 100 in a year's period of time. The tenets of that are wear your seatbelt, wear your traffic vest when out and investigating collisions and doing traffic control, keep your speed down, and what's important now, what the guy's thinking about, what they're doing at the moment, not what they're going to be doing an hour down the shift. And complacency, obviously, that's a big problem, and complacency costs the lives. Upcoming events, March 7th and 8th, we have a countywide Target Zero team emphasis. And that's a program that's been around for a while now to reduce traffic deaths to zero by 2030. On March 18th, the Behind the Badge Foundation is going fishing. The Behind the Badge Foundation is a foundation that works with fallen officers' families. This going fishing event is for the children of fallen officers. And 12 participants from the Monroe Police Department will be taking part in that.
And then March 28th is the kickoff for Special Olympics fundraiser at Adams Bistro. It's a Dipper Cup event, and that'll go to Special Olympics. Are there any questions about anything that's presented? I'd be more than happy to answer.
Councilmember Gamble?
Something that wasn't presented.
Okay.
I just have a question, because I know you guys were going to be, you know, kind of making periodically, you know, visits behind, you know, the Highway 2 bypass where the encampments were, and then also behind the Goodwill. I had heard through social media that some of the camp, where they'd be cleaned on the other side of the river, that they had moved to behind the Goodwill. I wondered if we had seen any activity there in any of our checks in the last couple of weeks.
Not as of yet. We've got a couple of new camps that we've located here in the last couple of days, but not up in that area.
Okay. So nothing behind or in the woods behind the Goodwill?
Behind the Goodwill, we're still working on. That property, we don't know what it belongs to. It's listed by the auditor's office as belonging to Parks Department. Parks Department says it doesn't belong to that.
State Parks.
State Parks.
Okay.
They say it doesn't belong to them. We're trying to track down who it does belong to at this point. We believe it now belongs to DOT, but we haven't verified it.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one specifically that I was getting, that some of the folks that were on the other side of the river basically moved over there.
Yeah. We did post that when we were up there behind the Goodwill. Even though we don't know for certain whose property it is, we think it's DOT's, and DOT did post that there's no trespassing. We are doing rounds and going up there to try to find out what's going on, but at this point we don't know who owns the property. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will check my agenda. No other reports. Okay, we'll go down the line then. Mr. Swanson.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you. It's my second day, so just getting into things and finding out a lot. As you can tell, I was looking at the housing permits that have been issued this year to date, which is approximately 11, and you'll see based on the preliminary plats that are coming towards you and final plats, people are gearing up for a very busy construction season. And so you'll see those numbers spike here fairly soon. So right now, it goes in the way we're in the planning process, and then it'll hit the building process. So dealing with and gearing up for a big summer.
Any questions for Mr. Swanson? Thank you very much. Mr. Worthen.
Mike's not here, so I'll talk about his department. We're now to the point where we're backfilling the maintenance 2 position. Council approved the extra supervisor position. We promoted somebody that opened the lead position, which we promoted somebody that's a maintenance worker, and we're now looking for a maintenance worker. So we've gone through all the resumes, and we're setting up our first round of interviews for next week. So more to come on that. There'll be more people in the parks, which is great.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Carol Worthen?
Nothing to say.
Okay, thanks. Any questions for finance? Okay. Deputy Chief, Mr. Feilberg?
Nothing to say.
Okay. Any questions for Public Works? All right. Chief? Okay. Any questions for PD beyond most of our items?
Okay.
Note that you probably noticed that there's not a Green Light Strategies lobbying report in your packet. I have a weekly telephone call with our lobbyist on Mondays, and he indicated that he asked to delay that until after the close of the legislative session tomorrow, because tomorrow is the cutoff day to get bills out of their chamber of origin. He said anything I write now could be totally pardon me, obsolete by then, so he'll have a substantial report next week.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Mosley? All right. For me, we have 522 tomorrow. You'll note in Monroe this week that as of Friday last week, we had 17 letters in support for doing improvements to State Route 522. I encourage all of you to come out, and the presentation will be very similar to what you received here. But we have invited people all the way up US 2 and down 203, and all of the community groups and organizations that and businesses that were part of the original support group. We also invited the county and the state representatives, and anyway, I would encourage you to come out and just hear the presentation. I also have tomorrow the Puget Sound Regional Council Economic Development District that I'll be attending, beginning around 1 o'clock down in Seattle. And then I've got LTAC tomorrow evening. We'll be reviewing four applications for LTAC funds. And I think that's pretty much all I have to report. You will note in the year-to-date comparisons down the second page of Monroe this week, sales tax revenues year-to-date are up 9.9%, or, you know, this early in the year, it's $78,000. You'll note also some of the things that Mr. Swanson was talking about relative to new house permits were up. And it is only four compared to last year, but it's you can kind of see some of the increases that he might be working with right there. And as he said, there are more in the pipeline. And I think that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right. Back to you, Mr. Mosley.
The agenda, upcoming agendas are there. I'm not going to look at them in detail. I would just, on the new business for the 14th, there are four ordinances listed which are a part of the review of the municipal code. I've listed them all four there. I'm not sure that all four will be ready for council consideration. So those items under new business 3, 4, 5, and 6 are kind of as tentative in the listing. I think that's the major thing for next week.
Okay. Sounds good. For the City Council Legislative Affairs Committee, is that next week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and did I understand that you had some agenda items for next week that staff could prep for?
We have to appoint the chair, and then I have a couple of items that I want to propose for further discussion.
Okay.
So,
okay. Anything that staff can prep for?
I don't know if we're
going to
discuss the items.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, anything else?
Next on agenda? Or, all right. Do you have any other business?
Okay. We don't have any other business this evening except for executive session.
Too late.
Okay, so we do have a need for an executive session this evening. Is this what we're thinking? Or
I would say 5 minutes.
We're going to go for 5 minutes to begin. This is agency litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I, for approximately 5 minutes, with the possibility of action, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting.
Including some potential other substantive action as well.
Okay, including some other potential substantive action as well. Yes, thank you. So we are now in session. Thank you. Okay, we're back out of executive session. Mr. Lilly, you have a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very briefly, Council, it's come to the city's attention that there are at least a few pending marijuana license applications with the State Liquor and Cannabis Board that, if approved, would at least allow for state authorization for these facilities to locate within the city of Monroe. As the Council is aware, you do have a local zoning prohibition on marijuana-related land uses on your books already. What's being handed out right now is an ordinance that, if adopted, would implement a interim zoning update to your existing marijuana framework in your zoning code to reflect the current state law provisions governing medical marijuana, and specifically updating the terminology and references in your code from the previous statutory reference of marijuana collective gardens to the current statutory reference, which is a medical marijuana cooperative, and clarify that those facilities, just like retail marijuana facilities, marijuana producers, and marijuana processors, are categorically prohibited under your zoning regulations. If the council would like to take that action tonight, you would need a motion first to add this item to your agenda, second, a motion to waive your council rules of procedure, and then third, a vote on the substance of the ordinance itself. The ordinance is framed as an immediately effective interim measure, and that would require a supermajority vote of the council to take effect immediately.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I'll make a motion, or I move to add an item to the March 7, 2017 agenda for action, ordinance number 005-2017, adopting interim zoning amendments to Chapter 18.70 MMC, marijuana-related uses, replacing and updating city zoning prohibiting marijuana cooperatives in order to reflect current state law, setting forth preliminary supportive findings, requiring a post-adoption public hearing, providing for severability, declaring public emergency, and establishing an immediate and effective date.
Second. We have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Scarborough to add the ordinance that you read in to the agenda. Any discussion on the motion to add that to the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to waive the City Council rules of procedures requiring two readings of ordinances.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Hanford to waive the council rules of procedure as described. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Rasmussen.
All right. I move to adopt first and final reading ordinance number 005-2017, adopting interim zoning amendments to Chapter 18.70 MMC, marijuana-related uses, replacing and updating the city zoning prohibition upon medical marijuana collective gardens with new prohibition on marijuana cooperatives in order to reflect current state law, setting forth preliminary supportive findings requiring a post-adoption public hearing, providing for severability, declaring a public emergency, and establishing an immediate effective date.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Davis to approve the ordinance that he read into the record. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Second. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Kent. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.